Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. MTA Chief Jay Walder is my first guest today as the MTA board gets ready for another vote on Thursday on another possible round of fare and toll hikes. Of course, so many New Yorkers are thinking, what? Already? We just had the last fare hikes and service cuts. So, Mr. Walder, we appreciate you coming on to explain. Welcome back to WNYC.
Very happy to be here. Thanks.
Tell us what you're expecting to happen on Thursday.
Well, unfortunately, I think the economic reality is that we need a fare increase. But this really isn't a surprise. Last year, when the governor and legislature worked out a financing plan to support the MTA, they agreed that there would be fare and toll hikes in 2011 and 2013. And I think it was very explicitly stated at that time that that would be the case. Now, I think the news here is really that we've managed to hold the fare and toll hike to the number that had been agreed at that time, a 7.5% increase in revenue. And the reason why that's news is that in the subsequent period of time, our finances have really tanked much further. The state has cut support for us. The tax revenues we receive have gone down much further. And we've had to make up that shortfall, but we did it in order to be able to maintain the fare and toll hike at the level that had been agreed.
And listeners, MTA Chairman Jay Walder will take some of your phone calls. For today, I think better to keep them on the large questions of fares and tolls and service, not the little things that can happen at any subway or bus station at any particular time. But 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. These things certainly are related. The big pictures and some of the littler things that happen, seemingly little, don't seem so little at the time. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 to talk to Jay Walder today. Explain exactly what you expect to vote on Thursday. Is this mostly going to affect the monthly or 30-day Metro cards?
Well, we have put forth a proposal in terms of a fair process. We've been holding hearings across the region. We held 9 hearings over the past month, and the proposal that will be considered by the board on Thursday essentially picks up on the feedback that we heard at that hearing. One of the things that we heard loud and clear was that people like the unlimited ride cards, the monthly and weekly passes, that it's essentially become a way of life in New York, and people want to see that maintained, and we'll do that. The proposal will come forth. We'll maintain the monthly and weekly passes in much the same way that we've had them right now. So this idea of capping is off the table. There are a number of other things that we're changing as well, but, I think fundamentally, the structure of our fare stays the same as it has been. The actual price, the $2.25, will stay the same as it is right now. You'll see monthlies go up a little bit. You'll see a change in some of the discounts for bulk purchases. But all of it is intended to raise approximately 7.5% more revenue for the transit system.
Give me some numbers. Like, what will a monthly Metro card cost? It's now $89 if this goes through.
It will cost $104 if this goes through. So the base fare will stay $225. The monthly pass goes up. The weekly pass goes up a smaller amount from $27 to $29. And one of the reasons for that is, as we looked at this, the discounts on the monthly pass were much steeper than the discounts that we give on the weekly pass. At the same time, if you look at the income level of people who buy monthly passes and weekly passes, more lower-income people buy weekly passes than monthly passes. So we've sought to be able to limit the increases on those fare options that lower-income people use the most.
Why are the finances still deteriorating? You know, if you pay attention to other news, which I'm sure you do. Mayor Bloomberg touts how New York City has created 10% of all the new jobs in America this year. The housing market is holding up better here than most other parts of the country. The recession and unemployment rates are not as steep. Why aren't we seeing this relative economic regional strength in the MTA revenues and budget stabilizing?
Well, you are in a way, and I think this is important. You are seeing it in our ridership. Ridership has stabilized. In fact, it's up a little bit. And I think that's a great sign. Ridership has always been a leading indicator for the economy, and that's terrific. On the other hand, a big part of the revenues that come to the MTA come from real estate taxes, transaction taxes, and new development. I don't think you're seeing a lot of new commercial real estate activity taking place in the city or around the region right now. And second, last year the legislature adopted a new tax, a payroll mobility tax, in the whole metropolitan region. And the results of the what's coming in from that tax have been far less than what is expected. In fact, that tax is down just in between 09 and 10. That tax is down about $500 million.
That was a payroll tax. So that's an indication of the persistent unemployment in the area?
Well, I think it's some indication of that, and I think the it may well be an indication of a bad estimate about what we would be receiving. It was a new tax, and it actually predates when I arrived, but I think the estimates turned out to be much more optimistic than what has actually come in.
We talked about the bus and subway fares. What about tolls for drivers, some of which the MTA also controls, and what about the commuter rails, Metro North, and the Long Island Railroad?
Well, on the commuter rails, we will, again, increase fares by the same amount, 7.5% in the revenue that we're taking in. Again, we listened to people at the public hearing process. There were various proposals that we had put forth. People gave comments, and you will see us again adjust our proposals to take into account the comments that we received at the public hearing process, extending the validity of some tickets, things of that nature. But again, the structure of fares on the commuter rails will stay the same. Tolls will go up as well, there's a proposal. We won't take action on tolls on Thursday. That goes a little bit further, allowing more time for for environmental review. But I think there are a couple of different ideas that have been out there on tolls. One idea is for an across-the-board toll increase, roughly the same way that we've done on the others. And the other idea, which was put forth in some of the public hearings and that we're considering again, is a point that was made that says, well, what if you raise the cash fares more and held down the Easy Pass fares? And the point of that, I think, is to recognize that we're really – everyone likes the way Easy Pass works. They like the idea that it allows traffic to flow more freely. From our perspective, it's certainly lower cost in collecting fares than it is when people use cash. And so we're considering that, and we're looking at that as well. No decision on that will be taken on Thursday.
So, listeners, that's one of the pieces of feedback you can provide the MTA through our comments page right now. Do you like the idea of raising the tolls more for cash-paying drivers than for those using Easy Pass as a way of encouraging Easy Pass? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see our page for MTA Fair Fares, 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, but all our lines are full, so you might want for the moment to go to our webpage, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for any feedback for MTA Chairman Jay Walder. And let's take a phone call. Here is Stuart in Carroll Gardens. Hi, Stuart. You're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Brian.
Mm-hmm. I
have to just say to Mr. Walder that I'm curious because I went to some of the hearings before the summer, which involved a lot of the cuts that were made, and I live near the B-71 bus. And it seems to me that under his tenure, there's been a real betrayal of the public trust and a precedent which has been set, which is the elimination of certain bus lines, and it's very disturbing. The name of your organization is the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, so that you would consider an option to not transport people is very disturbing, and basically Brooklyn has taken the brunt of it, and there is no alternative to the lack of transportation now that's being set up.
Were you arguing for another way to close the budget gap?
Absolutely. And my feeling is that should never have been an option, that you are in effect, punishing or segmenting different parts of the borough population.
But as opposed to what, Stuart? Anything in particular?
I don't know what the alternative is, but here's an example. The people that use that bus still need to use the bus. So instead of cutting it completely, they could have maintained the early morning rush hour service when kids go to school, and in the afternoon when kids need to come home, mm-hmm. And then maybe taper off or end it earlier in the day. But they didn't do that. They just eliminated it completely.
Stuart, let me get you an answer. Jay Walder, you hear this. I'm sure you're hearing this a lot. There's still so much unhappiness out there about many of the bus lines that were eliminated outright.
Well, and I appreciate that frustration, and I have to say, in listening to the person who calls in, I know that frustration is very genuine. I know that it's very real, and I do recognize that the changes that we made earlier in the year have affected people's travel and their ability to use the transit system. What I would emphasize here is that we did look at other things, and we did do other things. We didn't just look at service, but we reduced a total of $500 million in the cost base of the MTA. How do we do it? Well, we started by cutting administrative staff. We eliminated 15% of our administrative staff across the entire organization. We reduced 20% at headquarters. We slashed overtime. We had an announcement just the other day that overtime this year will be $54 million less than last year, even taking account the pay increases that our employees have received in that time. That's a big reduction in overtime. We've renegotiated contracts with our employees. With our suppliers. So we've really gone at the things to be able to fundamentally change the cost structure of this organization, because I think the point that Stuart is making is right. He's making a point, I think, in saying, look, the we don't want to see you cut service, and we don't want to see much higher fares. If we had not taken the actions that we've taken, I'm afraid that we would have ended up in a much, much worse situation than we're in right now, and that's where we are.
On the question of getting money internally rather than from service, you probably saw the article in the New York Post 2 days ago, headline, MTA, a train wreck, and it refers to an eviscerating evaluation written by the pricey Accenture consulting firm earlier this year, which faulted the agency in a dozen areas, including promoting people based on friendship and familiarity rather than skill, failing to differentiate between top-quality employees and the bottom of the barrel, wasting a huge amount of time by appointing underlings to discuss issues when only executives can make decisions, being stuck in the past and lacking any demonstrated desire, quote-unquote, to do better, suffering from a hoard mentality that sparks protracted turf fights with bureaucrats scuffling over limited resources. People are reading this by the hundreds of thousands, probably, in the New York Post.
Yes, and I think, look, I think I'm not sure where the story really comes from, but let me at least say what we did. We brought Accenture in here to help us identify cost-cutting opportunities. They were a part of the process that I just described of identifying literally $500 million of cost-cutting opportunities for our organization, and I think that number will continue to grow. This is, without doubt, the largest, the most aggressive cost-cutting initiative in the history of the MTA. I would not tell you, and I have not said at any point, that the MTA, when I walked in the door, that I could look everybody in the eye and say that MTA was using every dollar wisely. You have seen us move aggressively to be able to do that. But I think there's a second point that's here as well, Brian, which is it wasn't good enough. I don't think it's good enough for us to just go at the cost-cutting piece of it. It's important to do. It's essential for us to do. We have really no choice. But we have to take steps to be able to move forward on service improvements and changing that as well at the same time. And one of the things I think you're also seeing right now are steps day in and day out to make that a reality. And in particular, to be able to bring technology into our subway, bus, and commuter rail systems in a way that benefits customers. The Post today had an article that said that we're moving forward on cell phone service and Wi-Fi service for subways and commuter rails. We've moved it. It's moving more aggressively and faster than had been expected. I think that's absolutely terrific. We're getting out the countdown clocks all over the system. I committed early on this year that we would have 75 countdown signs installed or installed at 75 stations by the end of this year. I'm happy to tell you, as we stand here today on October 5th, that we're already at 75 for this year. And, you know, the feedback that's coming from these things has been absolutely terrific. You know, my favorite story is the woman who sent a tweet in and says, just, I love the signs. They change people's perception of the subway.
Speaking of phones and subway platforms, here's Liz in Washington Heights calling in. Liz, you're on WNYC with the MTA chairman, Jay Walder. Hello.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I live in Washington Heights. I use the A train at 181st Street. There are two token entrances, and the end at 181st Street, the token booth clerk is no longer there. So there are just the vending machines. And for customer assistance, there's now a panel in the wall where you press the button. It's very well identified. I don't agree with your decision to remove the token booth clerk, but I understand why you had to make it and why you replaced it with the customer assistance call box. That's fine, I guess, except for the part where when you try to call somebody, no one answers the phone. So fortunately, the problem that I was experiencing the other night was a minor annoyance of the escalator being out. But if I had been in danger, if there had been a public safety issue, no one answered. I spent about 10 or 15 minutes and made as many attempts and was not able to reach anybody. What do you have to say about that?
Okay, well, one, I apologize because there is supposed to be somebody at the other end, and without knowing the specific instance, but we will look into that as well.
Hit my Facebook page. There's a picture of it with the date and time, Elizabeth Flores Ritter.
Okay, we'll do that. I think the broader point here is that we also announced the other day a whole program of getting help points all across the subway system. We're going to be testing in a couple of locations the ability not just to have help points on at the entrances where you come into a station, but across the platforms as well, and in locations so that you can call directly. Each of those new help points will have two buttons, one that's for information and another that's for an emergency. And the emergency ones will go straight into emergency services to be able to deal with that. I think we have to move forward in this way, not just because it's more efficient, but actually because I think we can provide a better service to our customers. We need to be able to create communication across the entire subway system, not just in locations where we have station agents right now.
We're getting a tweet from one of our listeners named Noah who asks, can you ask Jay for his thoughts on Albany's responsibility to support the transit system that keeps our region alive? Are you frustrated with Albany where the direct subsidy from state government to the MTA has gone down over the years, and also with the city?
Well, I think for my money, and maybe many people would agree, I think that the MTA is the single most essential public service that we have in New York. And it is heavily supported by Albany and by the city of New York, as well as by some of the suburban counties as well. I think the frustration is in two parts. I know that last year Albany adopted a bailout plan for the MTA, did enact new taxes for the MTA. Those taxes have not brought in the monies that had been anticipated. But I think that probably the greater frustration on that is that in the deficit reduction plan that was adopted up in Albany, they cut the MTA subsidies as part of the deficit reduction plan. They literally took $143 million away from the MTA last November as part of what they were doing to be able to balance the state budget. Now, I think at this point, looking forward rather than looking back, I think the important point here is that we need to find a way to ensure stable support for our transit system and support that doesn't just dissolve the moment that we have an economic downturn. Because the reality is, in the times of economic crisis, and they are occurring now, we'll get out of this situation, it will occur sometime in the future. We all know that. But in times of economic downturn, what people do is rely on our transit system even more. And we can't be in a situation in which it looks like our revenues have that kind of volatility that takes place. So I think it's both the amount of support, Brian, that comes in, And I think it is the ability to have stable support for our transit system in a way that we have not had it to this point in time.
So here's the flip side of that. Perhaps, I don't know if you've even heard this one yet, because our reporter Ozzie Pabra is just back from a Crane's Business Breakfast in Midtown, and he's posted this on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. He says gubernatorial candidate Carl Paladino reiterated his call not to pass a late state budget, rein in Medicaid costs, and dismantle the MTA, which he said was bloated and mismanaged. And when asked, Paladino said he would fire you. Any reaction to Carl Paladino on any of those things?
No, I think I'm going to continue to do what I've done for the last month, and I'll do for the next 31 days or 30 days, which is to stay out of the campaign. What I will say is this: the MTA has worked aggressively this year on the single most important cost-cutting initiative in the history of this organization. We have reduced 3,500 positions. We've knocked out 20% of headquarters. We've reduced overtime. All these things have happened. This is not a plan. These are actual things that have happened right now in the course of a single year since we started to do it. Is it everything that we could do? Probably not. Should we be committed to continuing to reduce costs and improving service at the same time? Absolutely. As to how that fits in with the gubernatorial candidates, I think we'll wait until November 3rd to go to that place.
I know we're running out of time. Let me get one more quick call in for you on a particular situation, and we're getting several calls from the Rockaways right now. We're going to take Danny in Rockaway Park. Danny, you're on WNYC with the MTA chairman. Hi.
Good morning. I'm Danny from Rockaway Park. Good morning. I think it's outrageous that you're charging the Rockaway residents and the Broad Channel residents a toll to travel over the Cross Bay Bridge in Queens, which goes from Far Rockaway to Broad Channel. It's the same borough, the same zip code. I think it's outrageous, and tonight there will be a rally at 7 p.m. We're going to march over the bridge to show support that we should have no toll there, no toll whatsoever. There should be a free bridge. I don't think you could even name a bridge that you pay from the same borough, from 11693 to 11693, to pay a toll. That's outrageous, and it should be stopped.
Is that your call, Jay Walder? Is that the MTA's call?
It's the MTA's bridge. I probably should point out here that I grew up in the Rockaways. I'm very familiar with exactly the situation that the caller points out. In our proposals, or in what we've had to do this year, we have scaled back a rebate that had existed for Rockaway residents. The way it works for Rockaway residents and Broad Channel residents is that they pay only for one round trip over the bridge, and any further trips that they have to go back and forth, they don't pay for. We did this, again, in an attempt in our difficult fiscal climate to try to find ways to be able to raise revenue for the organization and to recognize that we didn't want to end up with disproportionate impacts in any places. I think the first caller and the last caller expressed a frustration, and I understand that frustration. But again, Brian, I'd go back to the point that you made before. While I express the frustration, we do need to find ways to make up a $900 million shortfall in the MTA's finances, committed to cost-cutting, trying to limit the impacts of revenue increases in the way that we're doing it, and very much committed to the fact that at the end of the day, we are continuing to provide an essential service to 8.5 million New Yorkers a day. And what I really want to do is to see people come back and say that their subway and bus and commuter rail service is improving.
I know being chairman of the MTA is a hard job. So if you want some comic relief, maybe you know about a Twitter account out there called Fake MTA. Have you heard about that?
I have, yeah.
With over 5,000 followers. And we looked at some of the recent updates, and one of them is the two-train status has been changed from late to it's complicated.
I have to tell you that I ended up this past weekend, I was riding the two-train. And I did what I urge other New Yorkers to do, which is I went on our website and I looked up the service status on the number two train and how I could get to where I needed to go. And I have to say that I found it to be complicated. Would be a kind and gentle way of phrasing it.
Fake MTA also says the number one train will be skipping Lincoln Center due to Anna Wintour's fear of commoners. So we will leave it there. Except I want you to promise me that you will have somebody from your team look at our comments page, because we're already up to 65 comments from listeners during this segment. So have somebody look at that, okay?
We will do that. And look, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Chairman of the MTA, Jay Walder. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When we continue in a minute, Spitzer in, Sanchez out at CNN. Stay tuned.